comes to this point in the Sermon on the Mount, and again, he's saying, "You're salt, you're light," and we looked at that, and we saw that, you know, salt and light are they affect things. And that's what they're here for. That's what we're here in the world, not to just blend in, but to affect the world and to affect change in the world. But he comes to this portion of the scripture where he really shifts to something incredible here. And let me just read it, and we'll get right into it. He says, "Watch out, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all," everyone say all "the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will," everyone say will "reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you." Amen? He says in the NIV version says it this way: "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Jesus uses this word righteousness several times already. In fact, earlier in the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And this is right after he launched in the challenge for all of us to be more like salt and light, that we are that. In Matthew 5:20, he says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." And from here, he segues into a focus on the heart. Because he said a person could look at the outside and they're fulfilling all the religious obligations, but if they're still sinful in their heart, they're missing it. You're missing the point. You can get all whitewashed, like whitewashed tombs. You can be righteous on the outside, but still be sinful on the inside. The motivation of your heart is what Jesus is speaking of here. In fact, he's basically saying it doesn't matter that you followed all the rules if you weren't playing the right game. God has a plan for us to bless us. And Jesus is teaching here, and he's teaching about righteousness. And when he's speaking up until this point, it's always talking about our righteousness in relation to how we deal with other people. Don't be angry at somebody, have self-control with the other person, go the extra mile, pray for your enemies. Remember that from last week? Somebody goes like, "I want to forget that part." Can't cross it out. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Serve your enemies. Meanwhile, we look at this. It's all about others. But this is the point of the scripture where he's talking about our righteousness as it relates to how we relate to God. Righteousness as we relate to one another. But now it comes, now that you're in relationship with me, this is what it looks like. In other words, he speaks of fasting. He speaks of prayer. He speaks of giving in the scripture. And these are all good deeds. Amen? They're all things we ought to be doing. They're good deeds. But they're good deeds that are supposed to be done to the Lord, before the Lord. In fact, let me drill down just a little bit deeper here. On the surface, if you're thinking kind of about what I just got done announcing and then what I got done reading, it sounds like we're in conflict. I just got done announcing all these wonderful things we do for the community to get noticed, but now you're telling me we shouldn't do things to get noticed. Which is it, Jesus? And he says that very simply, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Wait a minute. He said that earlier, "Let your light shine so they could see your good deeds." Now you're saying don't do your good deeds in public. Which is it? The reality of it is, it's all about, does the Father get glory? The litmus test on whether your heart is right in this situation is, does the Father get glory? We're supposed to let people see what God has done in our lives so that He gets the glory. It's not about you and it's not about me. The real difference now is what Jesus is warning us, this other sin, if you will. The sin of doing our acts of righteousness that are meant to be personal and sacred devotions before the Lord, but we're doing them to impress one another. And this is what Jesus is warning us about. And in our current day with social media, We're really good at our own personal highlight reels of letting everybody see the best of us. Amen? And this is a human tendency. We just want to put on a show, if you will. See, on the one hand, we're to show other people kindness and generosity with a pure heart because our motive is to bless other people and to reveal how great God is. That's on one hand. But on the other hand, we're warned about not being showy, because if we're being showy, the intent is on blessing ourselves. I want to be noticed. I want somebody to see me praying. Look at me. Look at how big my offering check is. Y'all got quiet. Let me just say this real quick. Notice that Jesus doesn't say if you give, if you pray, if you fast. He said when. When. In other words, he's speaking to these people who had become, well, had become habitual, if you will. These were things that they were doing, but now he's questioning their motives. When you do this, make sure your motives are pure, because if you're doing it from the motive of getting blessed because somebody saw it, good luck. Enjoy your reward. If you want a title for a message, it's now or later. Your choice. You want your reward now or you want it later? Your choice. That's what he's basically saying here. Does God get the glory when you pray? Does God get the glory when you give? And I think it's kind of funny that he gives us almost this comical, I think in cartoons, because that's my brain. It's easy for me to think about deep concepts sometimes in cartoons. But I imagine this picture. See this picture that Jesus paints it himself. You're giving in your offering. Here's my offering check. And the trumpets go, do-do-do-do. And God goes, thank you for giving. I was going to go broke this week. Thank you. And all the world here, oh, Pastor Greg saved the kingdom of God this week because he gave. Or maybe what we should do now, because it's more about what we think of one another, maybe now from now on, instead of the cute little offering envelopes that we have, let's just bring in the big checks like you get when you win the lottery. And just going to carry it in. Look at everyone I brought. And God's like, oh, man, I didn't think I was going to make it this week. Having fun with this a little bit. Is that okay? Because the reality of it is, Jesus is saying, be careful that your motives don't shift, because their motives had shifted. Be careful that your motives don't shift into just about blessing yourself. It's in the way that we do our acts of righteousness. It's in our motives behind it. So what he's saying is, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, when you do those things, we shouldn't do it like the hypocrites who blow trumpets in the church and call attention to their giving. I don't know if you know this, because it's so much more important that people notice how much you give than it is that God notices. We have installed little cameras in the offering plates, so when it goes by, oh yeah, and we're broadcasting it live on Facebook, so real time, people can see exactly what you're giving, when you give, how much you give, and if you don't give, You're going to be on camera, because that's what's important. I'm having fun with this. But if we don't go, like Jesus, by the way, you think, wow, he's like going over. Jesus went really overboard when he talked about the trumpets blowing and all this, okay? He was doing what I'm doing, drawing the illustration out. He said, don't do it in that sort of a hypocritical way. While this is kind of funny, the question does become what he asked in John chapter 12. Basically, are you doing it for the praise of men or the praise of or the love of God? Are you doing it for the praise? Are you doing it for God for you to praise God? Or are you doing it to praise men? See, when we give from the heart, we should not only praise ourselves in a self-congratulatory way, we should give it not in a hypocritical way, but we ought to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Our entire being is for him. We submit ourselves to God as a sacrifice. And when we do that, it's real easy for us not to build ourselves up in some sort of a way, to a self, you know, look at me. Aren't I something special? That's not what the Lord's saying. Now, let me say this in kind of a practical way. If you're able to give a lot, and I'm not just talking about finances, by the way, and we're not passing another offering plate this morning, don't worry about that. But when you give, when you pray, when you fast, if you have the ability to give a lot more than maybe somebody else, don't get all puffed up about that. Rather than getting puffed up about how you have the ability to give so much, hit your knees and thank God that you're able to give anything to begin with. That's what he's talking about. The motivations of our heart. Knowing that it all comes from him. The scripture says in James 1, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, with whom there is no shadow or variation of turning. Moses reminds us in Deuteronomy that God gives us the power and the ability to acquire wealth. Jesus goes on to say that when we give for the purpose of being praised by others, that we give in the way that hypocrites give. I don't know if you know this, but all of you in this room are hypocritical from time to time. That doesn't make you a hypocrite, by the way. It just makes you hypocritical from time to time. And because I'm not gonna let the enemy, you know, label you forever. I've been hypocritical. That doesn't mean I'm a hypocrite. People go, I don't know if I'm going to go to Bethel. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. Yes, there are. They sit in blue chairs, only the blue chairs. We all blow it from time to time. So just understand that I'm not saying you're judge, jury, executioner, you're a hypocrite if you blow it. But he's basically saying when you do this, if you're doing it with the wrong motives, you're doing it with a hypocritical nature. And you're doing it with basically with a mask on. That's what the word hypocrite comes from. It means an actor or a stage player, or literally it means an interpreter from underneath, which sounds like an odd phrase, but in Greek theater, they wore masks and they were interpreting the theater behind a mask. I was thinking we ought to have Mask Sunday at Bethel. You're like, well, that's every Sunday kind of thing. From time to time, we could all be guilty of, hello, I'm talking to me. We can all be guilty of putting on like, hey, how you doing? Great. I'm doing great. Doing great. Awesome. Because it's just, we got to be careful. I don't want to act. He says, when we do it that way as a hypocritical giver, we have received all the reward we're ever going to get. In fact, the scripture says the word, we have received. In other words, if you study that word out, that word literally means that we've received a sum in full and we got a receipt for it. In other words, there's no further blessings coming. If you do it for the praise of people and people start to praising you, congratulations. Enjoy your blessing. That's what he's saying. Have fun with it. If you're doing it that way, a hypocritical giver receives their reward in full at the time that they give, and they shouldn't expect to receive anything else from that point on. Jesus goes on to say, when we give, we should do it solely unto God with a thankful heart, a sacrificial, generous attitude, and in a private way. When we give it that way, Jesus promises us that the Heavenly Father will reward every single one of us. Jesus goes on to describe praying now. And he says, when you pray, don't be hypocritical about praying. The hypocrite prayer loves to be seen by other people. Hypocrite prayers, if you will, love to make sure that their prayers sound really spiritual too. And now, trust me, I understand the concept here, but when I was first a Christian and I would go to prayer meetings, I remember, just like I said, Visalia First Assembly, we would go to these prayer meetings. There was one old guy that, when he prayed, I just knew it was God was going to fall, the power of God. God, though thou dost knoweth. You know, I'm like, whoa, Moses is praying or something. I don't know who's, but this is incredible. I'm looking for a burning bush. I mean, I could, and when I was first learning how to pray, I would emulate and copy some of the things that I was hearing him say, because I didn't really know that I can just talk to the Father like he's my Father. Like, Father, I'm just having a rough day here. Would you help me out here? I didn't know I didn't have to use King James English to get the Father's attention. But so for a little bit, I kind of faked it until I figured it out. And that's kind of okay. It's a little bit of imitation, but I want to imitate the Father. I don't want to imitate you. We can walk around imitating one another. And we wind up, if we're doing that, we're just playing a role. If I'm praying, so not to get the Father's attention, but to get your attention, then when I get your attention, there's all my reward I'm ever going to get. That's what he's saying. If I'm praying to, and sometimes I've heard people say to me, unfortunately, because I honestly, let me hear my heart as a pastor. I don't know why I'm saying this in this service and none of the other ones, but when we open the altars up at times for prayer, we ask for people to come forward. I've talked to people and said, I didn't want to go forward because I didn't want people to see me. Trust me, people really aren't seeing you. When the Holy Spirit's moving in times like that, trust me, God's moving all over the place. And you coming forward, and this isn't about you coming up here so everybody can go, whoa, that guy must be hyper spiritual. It's not that. But At the same time, by the same token, on the other hand, if you will, there are times where a young believer, a new believer sitting in the audience and doesn't, and you're coming forward was an encouragement to them that maybe they could come forward. Maybe they could lift their hands. I remember when I first started worshiping the Lord, I was a Catholic. So, you know, it's like you got to be, you know, religious. And I remember when I would see people raise their hands and I was like. But after a while, I just got bold and I didn't care anymore. And I'm like, whatever. I'm sorry if I'm pitting out today, but it's all. Raise your hands if you're sure. I'm sure Jesus is on the throne.
Yeah.
Amen. But I don't do it to impress you. I'm here to impress the Father. When I pray, when I worship, when I give, it's to impress the Father. And when I pray, by the way, to impress you, there's not a chance in the world I'm going to receive the thing I'm praying for, because the thing I'm praying for is for you to notice me. That's all I'm going to receive. Are you hearing me? This is what Jesus is saying. He says, in fact, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In other words, with the right motive, with a pure heart. Until now, you've been asking for him for nothing. Asking you will receive that your joy may be full. Now, this isn't to say that we should never pray in public. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is that, and here's what I do know about people who enjoy praying in public, is they have a very dynamic, private prayer life. It's not just for here, and it's not just for show. Let me illustrate it for just a moment, because we can get into the habit, and we can develop a blind spot when it comes to our religiosity sometimes, and we'll look just like the Pharisees, we'll look just like the hypocrites. And there was a gentleman at a church I was going to, probably wasn't this one, probably wasn't, but anyway, I saw he got out of the car and he opened his trunk and he grabbed his Bible out of his trunk. And you remember the Bibles with Bible covers? Okay, you remember Bibles? See, yeah, every once in a while you'll see somebody with an actual Bible. And nowadays we've got them all digital and all that other stuff. And so no condemnation. You're in Christ Jesus. Okay, but so he had a Bible with a Bible cover and a handle on it. Fancy handle. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody got one? There you go, right there. Just like that one. He opened his trunk, got his Bible come out, and he's walking in. I'm like, hey, man, I said to him, I'm so grateful you bring your Bible to church. It was just, I was wanting to encourage him. I wanted to acknowledge somebody doing something really awesome. I said, oh, thanks for bringing your Bible to church every week. He goes, well, I keep it in my trunk so I can have it every week.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't make that up. I'm like, whoa. Now, I want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. He probably has 10 Bibles at home. He probably reads those, but he has one that he keeps in his trunk. So I'm not trying to be hard on the guy, but my initial thought was the same thought you had. Like, really? Because the Bible actually is useful on Monday,
yeah,
and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. Not Friday, but. See, it can't be about, if you got the fanciest cover, but the pages are still stuck together.
Wow.
In Colossians or, you know, Leviticus. I mean, I get that one, but anyway. It's got to be more practical than that. Jesus said our motives have to be pure as we're giving, as we're praying, as we're pursuing God, pursue Him with all of our heart. I'll use this as an example. Worship team, I want you to come. Because, see, the deal is, not to be hypocritical, not to follow into religious practice, but and for, you know, I mean, I had to grow in knowing how to speak my wife's love language. I had to figure that out a little bit. I'm still working on it after all these years. Not calling attention to her age is probably part of the love language thing that I didn't figure out. But anyway. But as I was learning how to do that, I watched other couples, and for a while I did things that I saw them doing because it seemed to be working for them. But eventually my relationship with my wife had to be our relationship. It had to be personal. I'm going to pick on Pastor James and Heather because I think it's cute and awkward at the same time. But James calls her Honey Bunny. Hi, honey bunny. Now, if I came home and said, hey, honey bunny, she would freak out. Because that's not our relationship. I got other things, all nice things that we say about each other. All nice things. Our relationship, it's not that. See, it's a personal thing. My motivation is to have a personal relationship, an intimate relationship. I can have an intimate relationship with the Father, and I can call Him Father, Abba, Daddy. I can approach Him with my prayer life and my giving life and my fasting life, not so that you all see it, but so that He sees it and that He's pleased with me. Now, He loves me just like He loves my enemies, just like He loves people who are in sin. He loves me. That's not the issue. But I get to tap into the love of God when I start praying to Him. I get to have this intimate, dynamic, personal relationship with Him. Galatians 1:10 reminds us, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so let me close with this question. This is not one of those indicting questions that you need to answer so that you feel guilty. It's just one of those, what's the temperature question? It's one of those that you, I'm going to ask it, but you answer it in your own heart. And I'm going to answer it in my heart because I know the answer in my heart. And the question is this. Are you giving, praying, or fasting to get God's attention or man's attention? And if I'm honest from time to time, it's been to get man's attention. But if I'm looking for man's approval when I get it, that's all the reward I'm going to get. If that's the motive in my heart. If you are getting ready to do your morning devotions, and you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13 and light a candle and put a coffee mug there and I don't know, maybe even if you could figure it out how to get your praying hands in the midst of the picture and you get a selfie of it all and you post it on Facebook and you're like, hashtag devotions. And you do that just to see how many likes you get. When you get those 14 likes, go ahead on and enjoy those 14 likes because that's all you're getting out of that devotion. Because if the motive is that, if the motive is praise from people, when you get those 14 likes, enjoy them. In fact, juggle them. Have fun with them. That's all you're going to get. But if you're going to devotions, not to impress me, but you're there to impress the Father, and to press the Father's heart, and to press into the Father. Then you get to this place where you can tap into the dynamic of the Spirit of God that says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. There are words that are there that are life-giving, that will encourage you in the midst of whether, you know, because sometimes we grow weary in giving. Sometimes we grow weary in praying. Sometimes we grow weary in fasting. If it weren't true, He wouldn't say, don't grow weary in doing good. And when you open the Word of God and when you actually connect with the Father in prayer, not to impress one another, but to get the Father's attention, He meets you right there. That's why we can sing a song like there's another in the fire. Because when we go through circumstances, we're not going through them alone. We know that the Father is with us. He said He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. That's what He said. Let me just say it. If we do our good deeds to get our rewards from for people, if we do our good deeds to get people to notice it, then you're going to expect your rewards to come from those same people. And I want you to love me. And I think y'all do. I want you to like me. I want, if I were to say, am I a good pastor? I want the answer to be yes. But the answer is, depends on what day. Because we all fall short from time to time, and I'm going to let you down. So the reality of it is, as much as I want you to love me and like me, I'm more interested. I got up very early this morning to make sure that I got here and got my heart prepared to be able to present something to you, not so that you would be impressed with me, but so that you would be pointed toward the Father today, and you would leave here feeling empowered and strengthened and uplifted and encouraged, that you can open your Word of God on a daily basis. You can have a personal relationship with Him. I don't want you to have to be impressed with me. Listen, I could ask my kids, am I a good father? They're not supposed to answer that. The answer is, it does depend on the day, because there are some times that I have to be their father and not their friend. And as a father, I might have to say some things that are uncomfortable. And guess what? As a pastor, I might have to say some things that are uncomfortable. I might have to bring some subjects up that are uncomfortable. And you may, oh gosh, I left encouraged, but a little bit like shaken. Well, that's okay. I get shaken all the time. An encounter with the Holy Spirit is just like you sitting and you looking in the mirror and wow, opening your word, praying, spending time with God. If you do it with the right motives, you're going to see you in the right light. You'll see exactly what it is. You're not looking at yourself and then walking away forgetting what you look like. You're looking at yourself going, wow, I had an encounter with God today. And I know, man, he sees me like this, but I don't see me like that. Heavenly Father, help me to be more like you. Help me to be an imitator of Christ. Understand this, it can't be about, your reason can't be about the rules and the regulations. Those things are fine. They'll keep you going for a bit. But if it's not about relationship, and if it's not at that depth of relationship, then it becomes a religious practice. Your motivation's not right. I don't want to go to the Lord with the poor motivation. I don't want to let poor motives delay my miracle. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to have misplaced values, popularity, position, praise. Those are lousy values. Poor values lead to empty victories. What's an empty victory? Well, I worked really hard to make sure the church was impressed with me this morning. And guess what? They gave me a standing ovation. Good word, Pastor. And I left, and somehow I got to do it again next week. Because it left me empty. Because if I'm just doing it for that, I'm going to be empty every week. And I'm going to hit my knees every week going, I got to give them something that they're going to be impressed with me over. That's not what God wants from your pastor. And he doesn't want from us in relationship. He wants a real personal relationship with us. And I know this, if we get our reason right, the rewards will follow. By the way, in this life, let me say it. The scripture talks about don't store your treasures up on earth. The storm up in heaven. And I used to always think of that exactly like that. And I know it means that. I do know that. Yeah, I don't want to store them up here, moth and dust. I want to store my treasures up in heaven. It's not about putting my treasures in another place. It's about receiving my treasure in this life from another place. Ooh, Pastor. I'm going to let that sink in because y'all, amen. It's about getting my rewards from another place. In fact, you have no idea what he has in store for you. But what he has in store for you has your name on it. And you access it by praying and fasting and giving and seeking the Father. You access all the resources of heaven. Don't you wish you could walk out of here and find a big chunk of gold? Like anybody? Nobody? You're twisted. You're going to be all happy about finding that chunk of gold. And God's going, you're happy about gravel? You're happy about asphalt? That's what I paved my... We serve a God in heaven. Let me finish with this. Life is way too short to live my spirituality to impress people who don't even sit on a throne. I want to impress the one who sits on the throne today. Amen? Would you stand with me?